I'm Elizabeth Madrigal.
And I'm Karen Morrison.
And we're the hosts of the Women's Mosaic, where the real lives of women and girls are shared and celebrated.
In this space, we honor the feminine and amplify the voices of women speaking their truth.
The Women's Mosaic delves into the real lives of local women through story-rich interviews, learning what works and what doesn't to enhance the health and well-being of women in our community.
We strive to share unique perspectives, resource sharing, and instructions on how to be kind by any means necessary. Welcome to the Women's Mosaic.
Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above when love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me as I love you. Somewhere there's music.
Today we are joined by Thurston County Superior Court Judge Sharonda Amamilo, who serves the Family and Juvenile Court. Welcome to the show, Your Honor.
Thank you. I appreciate the welcome. I appreciate the pre-work that we did meeting one another, and I'm just so very glad to be here. Thank you.
We're thrilled to have you. So to start our conversation, we'd like to ask you to tell us one thing you'd like our listeners to know about you, and it can be anything.
I am a lifetime Star Trek fanatic. I mean, I'm a diehard Trekkie. I started with Captain Kirk, and then I watched all of the follow-on versions of Star Trek, but I've landed on Next Generation with Captain Picard, primarily because it appears that they represent, you know, all the things that we wish humanity could, aspire to be. Like, everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a job. They've eradicated poverty and hunger and strife on earth, and everyone is valued. The reason it is important, you recall back in original Star Trek days, and they had their little communicators that they flip out. And then we progressed as mankind to flip phones. And now they have these very advanced smart things, smart tablets that they have. We have our smart phones. We have this Samsung Galaxy has the fold that looks just like one of the things that you see on Star Trek. That we just haven't gotten to warp drive, but we could be closer because we have Falcon 9s going up to space and coming back. Starship is being successful. They're trying to colonize the moon and Mars. And that we just see these things that tie what Star Trek, the concepts that they were doing, tying them to mankind as we're living them in real life in our own lifetimes. They're not, you know, some fantastical thing.
Right.
So that's why I'm a Trekkie and not a Star Wars fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. I feel that way about the Jetsons. I don't know if you ever watched
that cartoon, the Jetsons. Yes.
All that stuff happened.
Yes.
Including the robot.
Okay?
That's right. I'm going to make one day. Yeah. But until we get there, I'll just stick with the Jetsons. You've been an attorney for 23 years, but this was not your first career. Can you talk about your earlier life experiences and what inspired you to pursue the path
of law?
Yes.
Yes. I was a tenured faculty member at Bates Technical College in Tacoma, Washington. I started there as a temporary employee in their high school division. And then I saw that I could really contribute to, from like education from start to finish, because here we are in the high school division, and then we go from the high school division, those same students then go on to the vocational, and some of them at the same time. And then I also had students who were, you know, my age, older than me, restarting life and keeping them encouraged. So that really, that really allowed me to pause.
Yeah, don't worry.
Don't worry.
So after during that time that I was at Bates Technical College, I decided that I would just worked my way up in higher education, right? Mm-hmm. I went from the high school as the registrar, mm-hmm. then I became a counselor. I was going to night school at the same time. Okay. I got all the way through my bachelor's degree while there. And then I left for a little while and came back and got my master's degree. But then I became a counselor and then was there long enough to be tenured faculty. And I was a chair of the grievance committee for the union.
Wow.
There. And then something happened to my little brother. We lost our mom when he was 7. And I became his mom that day. And I had been raising him for quite a while by then. And he had got into high school, and we were living out in one of the rural, in the edge of Pierce County, and one of the outlying schools, and where the population of minority kids isn't very high, and he was being bullied, like, mm-hmm. ridiculously, mm-hmm. and not being supported by the school. They were not following the harassment, intimidation, bullying policy, but I made him follow every piece of it. That's and report right. to me every day. And eventually he was getting ready to be assaulted when he got off the bus at our mailbox. And he was in Boy Scouts, and he had a little tiny Swiss Army knife. You know the kind for the right, Boy Scouts. Right. And he pulled it out, and he said, "Please don't touch me." And the bus driver, all the kids on the bus, the kid that was getting ready to assault him was like a size and a half bigger than him, didn't ride that bus, is not supposed to be on that bus. And they turned my little brother in, who by now I'm treating as my son because I've had him since he was mm-hmm, 7. Mm-hmm. And my child was expelled from school.
Oh, wow.
And I was floored by that because I had been meeting with teachers and principals, and like, this bullying has been going on, and this kid is threatening to come home. And they said, "Well, you're son had a weapon on school property." I said, "What school property?" He was standing at my mm-hmm. mailbox. I mean, I kept my composure there, but when I went home, I mandated that he would be unsuspended and he would be back in school, and they would deal with the child and their policy that allowed a child to be on the school bus that's not supposed to be on it, that mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. ride that route. They needed to deal with that, or else I was going to find a school law attorney and they would deal with them.
Oh yeah.
But my child went back to school the next day. And then I went home and I became terrified because that principal had just looked at me and said that he was going to that they could charge my then 14-year-old with a felony. And I was floored. And I knew that I didn't know enough to protect my child if at 14 he could be set up like that. We could have a whole record mm-hmm. of him following mm-hmm. and us following right. all the policy. And yet he would be the one mm-hmm. that would have a felony and not the kid that got off the school bus and was going to beat him up. I think he was one on the defensive line at the high school Absolutely. Football team. This was a big kid. Mm-hmm. So I started reading everything that I could, and I found this book written by a psychologist from the 80s or maybe early 90s or so. Maybe it was even the late 70s. I'm not sure. But it was African American Males in the Criminal Justice System. And that book, it put the fear of God in me. There's no way for me to say it otherwise, because that's what I felt. Like, even knowing this much is not going to be enough. I wasn't satisfied with you got to have that talk with your African-American mm-hmm. son oh, yeah. in America. That wasn't comfortable enough for me. So I decided to go to law school. And when I decided to go to law school, I had no intention of leaving higher education. Right. Mm-hmm. I could become vice president of student services. I can become vice president of human resources. I could eventually become college president, you know, even if I didn't become one of the deans or whatever. I knew there was plenty of places to go in higher right. education with a law degree. So that was my whole notion, so that I would have enough information so I would be able to direct an attorney and be able to protect my child. And then I thought, I can protect all the
Everybody
mm-hmm. in my family. That was the whole mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. So that was the impetus for going to law school, primarily. And prior to that, I got to Washington from Germany because I was an active duty Army soldier at the same time. And I got out of the Army and joined Bates probably within 8 months or so of being in Washington State because I got off active duty that July. I had a very intentional reason about how I got to the law and then how I would use it. I could continue to do what I was doing until I got to law school and learned there were so many other needs that were compatible with my passions and just the things that I would, once I latch on to, I kind of tenaciously pursue until I get to the next level. So
back to what I was saying, I like the fact sometimes when people say, no, I have a lived experience. Mm-hmm. And there's a saying, a person with the argument is never at the mercy of someone with an experience. Mm-hmm. Never. And so when you went in there and you advocated and you said, whoa, wait a minute, the bullier has more rights than the one getting bullied?
Yeah.
And there's a good book out called The Bully, The Bullied, and The Bystander. Mm-hmm. And the bystanders were the school officials who were going to sit by and let this happen. Mm-hmm. But luckily, and a blessing to have you step forward and say, no, you don't. He's not even supposed to be here.
Right.
Why is he on the bus?
Right.
And before you do this or threaten with this, let's just go over your laws.
That's correct.
And then let's just go from there.
That's correct.
And when you start saying, well, let's get an attorney. It's funny how people go, well, wait a minute. Well, yeah, you'll see him tomorrow at school.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You're listening to the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. We've been talking to Sharonda Amamilo about her work as a Thurston County Superior Court Judge in Family and Juvenile Court. We are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and then continue our conversation.
Words may be wrong to this song. We're asking a high is the mood.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic provides evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries such as sprains and fractures. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. The Vancouver Shriners Children Clinic is located at 900 Northeast 139th Street, Suite 204, and is open Monday through Friday. Information about services and scheduling is available at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. Today, our guest is Thurston County Superior Court Judge Sharonda Amamilo, and our conversation with her continues.
I think it was important because this was like a culmination of some experiences because, you know, he was just, it was summer when Mom passed, and he wasn't going into third grade, and so he was a very distraught new third grader, and the teachers were characterizing his emotional dysregulation is just, you know, a little out of control black boy, you know.
Okay.
It's just like, we were in North Carolina at the time. That's where I'm originally from. They were stereotyping him. And and I was, had to go into school then. In fourth grade, he had teachers that were the same. But the sixth grade teacher was a teacher that didn't know how to deal with his distractibility. He's extremely technical. He's not on any spectrum or anything like that, but he's extremely technical, extremely bright. It's kind of uncanny, but he's real calm about it, right? He's not like a nerd, if that makes any sense.
He's a cool kid, too.
Right. he's 43 now, by the way. He's great. He's got a great career, and he's living his best life. But in sixth grade, his teacher really didn't know, like, how to keep him you know, on task. And so I asked her to explain to me what's happening in the classroom. She's like, well, he gets his work done, and then he's busy. I was like, so are some of your other students struggling? And she's like, well, yeah, but he's distracting me, and I can't work with him. I said, why don't you make him a tutor?
That's right. Use that skill.
Why don't you just make him a tutor? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, okay. So for me, that process worked. But the process got too big.
Yes.
In ninth grade.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about felonies now, for real. Yeah.
Well, and also I think it's really unfortunate, but, you know, girls also have a problem. If girls are behaving and advocating for themselves, they can be treated as if they're just rebellious and completely terrible.
That's right.
So, you know, because the boy will do something with, well, you know, he's a boy. Yeah. But a girl will say, well, I really don't think that's fair to, or mm-hmm. something. And they'll say, what? What? You know, you're supposed to be submissive. Yeah. I mean, and this stuff still clings, particularly for, you know, children of color.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's very extreme.
Absolutely.
And it starts really young, we know. But, you know, right. Anyway.
We have 6 adult daughters.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
So, We've seen the gamut, but what we know about girls, and obviously all these years of representing juveniles, girls, representing girls who are going through different identity processes during right. their development, and then presiding over cases, women and girls.
Right.
If you don't care enough to figure out the source of the trauma,
right.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to be able to influence.
That's correct.
A best interest outcome that mm-hmm. they will adopt.
Right.
You just are not going to. When you say act out, I see that, but that's got to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? And we got to care about where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think one of the things that I tried to do when I was still an attorney, I was a supervisor of the what we call the juvenile and civil unit at the public defender's office in Thurston County. And I'm trying to, I hope that we continue to have conversations, but we've always wanted to have a girls' court. And I tried to start a focus group to start a girls' court. I think there's 2 here in Washington State where they have the resources to do girls' court, but the model one is in the state of Hawaii.
Wow.
And girls' court really does just drill all the way down to all the things that, and keeps very good track of the things that lead girls and women into the justice mm-hmm. system.
Right.
Because, you know, we see a lot of on the domestic violence side or in the family right. law side, but we see these spiking and increases in on the criminal side for a system that was designed with the male
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
defendant or male respondent. So
right.
we have to be honest if we're talking about holding people accountable.
That's
right.
True.
Right. We have to be honest about that. Those differences and the way the system was designed.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly. You serve as a judge in family and juvenile court. You started to talk about it a little bit, but can you talk about the kinds of cases you are tasked with adjudicating?
Sure. There's so much family law, as you can mm-hmm. imagine. Family law with children, family law without children, you know, people who've been together for their lifetimes, people who've only been together for a short period of time, cases that involve mental health, a lot of mental health, cases that involve substance abuse, mm-hmm. a lot of that. Cases that now involve, cases, especially family law cases and dissolution cases, have always involved, you know, asset distribution and things like that. But they also now, we have had to learn the about the asset and tracking and distribution of cryptocurrency, you know, digital assets. We have, I recently finished a judicial training, special training for judges on cryptocurrency and privacy rights, where I have active cases right now that are still in the adjudication phase that have cryptocurrency as an asset that I'm being asked to trace, track, and distribute. So
wow.
It's very interesting. And then, of course, there's the guardianship cases, mm-hmm. folks that are, you know, whether they're juveniles or adults with vulnerabilities where they might need a guardian. And then the big bulk of child welfare cases. And it's not just child welfare cases of, you know, children and families who are just in Thurston County. Sometimes we're dealing with children and families where there's a split and a parent is in a different state.
Mm-hmm.
I also preside over the special immigrant juvenile visa guardianships, where they have to go through this guardianship as established a pattern that they are a refugee and they have no parent that is capable of caring for them, or they come from a very abusive background that then tees them up for potential eligibility for a special immigrant visa so that they then can be here legally in the United States. And those are very cut and dried criteria that have been deemed appropriate under immigration law as a basis for a person gaining immigrant status. I deal with those immigration issues monthly. We deal with a lot of sovereign issues as relates to the Native Americans, and the tribes in our area, tribes around us, in the whole nation. If you're a federally recognized tribe in a child welfare case or a family law case involving children, you have to make sure that none of the tribal rights in terms of, you know, custody or adoption or termination or none of those tribal rights are impacted. We also have a large population of soldiers and sailors and mm-hmm. Marines and airmen here in Washington State. So there's a lot of making sure we're protecting those soldiers and sailors' rights under that, the act that protects them, especially if they are subject to deployment, mm-hmm. that things aren't happening without proper notice to them. So all of that. That's now. That's my caseload now. Prior, the first 4 years of my tenure as a general jurisdiction judge, then you're talking about the adult felonies. Now I also have the juvenile felonies or the juvenile, what we call, they're respondents. They're not defendants. And we don't have a trial. We have a juvenile adjudication, and we don't sentence. We have a disposition. Prior to that, though, 4 years as in the main campus where we have the complex civil litigation, all the state impact cases, all of the administrative appeals of people unhappy with whatever happened down below at the at the agencies,
yeah.
My complex civil litigation has included, you know, tax fraud, Medicaid fraud, big corporations like. I think one was either Verizon or Comcast. Another was a big medical group up in northern area, north of Seattle, and they had a big Medicaid fraud case. I've dealt with, you know, Records Act cases, ballot title initiatives, some challenges. I had a challenge to the mask mandate. I've had cases where I've sentenced folks after the January 6th, what I would call the January 6th fallout, when some of those activities came to the Capitol here in Washington. And the bottom line is, you know, we have a very robust legal system.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very robust set of RCW statutes, criminal civil rules. We have a very robust system to operate in. And I just think that you just have to be prepared to listen to everything that people have to say within reason. You have to maintain command of the courtroom. But in the end, people need to understand why you rule the way you rule. I think that's the most important part. So every type of case that could come before the Supreme Court, I have either presided over or represented someone in that type of case, to include environmental cases that I've presided over since being on the bench.
Wow.
I'm stunned by how much homework you get to do.
Yeah, maybe.
To actually be able to adjudicate those cases and the variety.
That's a lot.
Boy, you really have to know the law.
You do, and I think the most important part is that you have to really understand your role as the judicial officer. Obviously, the parties are going to brief, because when the attorneys come in, they have their single scope of practice, right? but you have to be general jurisdiction. Myself and my other 8 colleagues on this. It's interesting that there are 9 judicial officers on Thurston County Superior Court, and there are 9 Supreme Court justices. Mm-hmm. So it's similar in setup in terms of, you know, different. A number of judges, a number of judicial officers, but it's very different in practice because we are each individually making those decisions on each case if it's not a jury trial.
Right.
Right. But most of our work is not jury trial. Most of our work is making decisions on our own, weighing the arguments on each side, reading all the cases that they each present, reading the law that they each present. So we depend on them to kind of direct us, you know, based on what they want to argue. But after a while, you do learn a lot, and you learn to ask questions when it's clear from the presentation that maybe part of the statute hasn't been fully fleshed out in what they're arguing. Mm-hmm. You need to, because ultimately, the record that goes before the Court of Appeals is the judge's record.
That's right.
Right?
That's
what right. The judge rules,
right.
And what the judge relied on. So I always think it's best that I have always thought it was best that if I know my job really well, if I know my role really well in this system,
right,
then I will be doing my part to ensure that the rule of law is respected and followed. And so that's very important to me.
Which should be important to all of us, really.
Mm-hmm. So. I think our question should have been, what don't you do?
Because I might not know the answer to that one.
That's a lot. For more information about the work Judge Sharonda Amamilo is doing in the Family and Juvenile Court, please click on Thurston County Superior Court on the website, thurstoncountywa.gov.
You are listening to part one of our interview with Thurston County Superior Court Judge Sharonda Amamilo on the Women's Mosaic on KXRW. Part two will broadcast in 2 weeks.
Somewhere there's heaven, how near, how far. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, I'll still my heart, how high. Song, how high the moon, though the words may be wrong, we're singing it because you ask for it, so we're swinging it just for you. How high the moon, does it touch the stars? How high the moon, does it reach up to Mars? Though the words may be wrong to this song, we're asking a high, 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 high.
And that's our show. New episodes broadcast on the 2nd and 4th Tuesdays, but you can stream any episode online anytime.
We are so grateful to our guests for sharing their knowledge and life experiences with us in their support of the health and well-being of women and girls.
So until next time, be kind by any means necessary.
And remember to honor your power.